Welcome to Bible Strong Ministries with your host, C.M. Atkinson. Join us now for today's lesson.
I'm still teaching from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation has long held a fascination for a variety of reasons. Its images, its prophetic visions have invited saint and sinner alike to explore its rich literary and theological contents, although often ignored and more often misunderstood, this unique book has a significant message and a blessing for all of those who would read it. Despite the fact that much of the interest in this book has been confined to eschatology, this book, this last book in the Bible, has a number of major theological emphases. So far, I've gotten to the second chapter, the letter to the pastor of Ephesus. Paul established this great church at Ephesus on his third missionary journey. He spent 2 years in that city, had a great revival. Ephesus is located in the modern-day Turkey, right on the coast. You can visit the ruins of Ephesus even today. It was from Ephesus the Word of God, under Paul's preaching and teaching, spread throughout a large portion of Asia Minor, spilling over into other cities and communities. You can read the historic account of this and that tremendous revival in the book of Acts. Paul was not the only great pastor that this church had. The Apostle John pastored this church. Timothy pastored this church. I don't know who was the pastor at the time that John wrote these words, but whoever it was, he had left his first love. Something that I don't think happened when Paul was pastoring there. Paul never left his love and vision for Christ. In fact, Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And I know that John was obedient. I believe that Timothy also, being learned in the scriptures from his grandmother's knee, from his mother's knee. And Paul says he believed it was also in him. When this letter was written, this was no doubt in the second generation, and a new pastor had come to town. He was a working pastor. He had learned to work. He had learned to wait. He had learned to discern those that were false apostles. He hated evil, which God hates. He hated the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. He was a great pastor. But it appears to me that during his working and laboring, that he forgot how to worship, that somehow, unperceptibly, he lost that first love. Is it possible that even today, that pastors can be laboring so much and be so busy attending to the needs of every individual in their church that they do not have time to give themselves to the Word and to prayer? Many members demand that the pastor visit them every day that they're in the hospital. They demand that the pastor preside at all of their weddings and all of their funerals and all of their baby dedications. If we're not careful, our demands on our pastor will be so great that they will not have time to attend to that which God has called them to. In the book of Acts, the 6th chapter, it appears to me that something of this sort was going on. There arose a murmuring of the Greeks against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily ministrations. The 12 called the people together and said, It is not fit that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Look you out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continuously to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the Bible says that this saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen's, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. And we all know that he was an evangelist, plus five more. And one of those five others that they chose was Nicholas. Could it be the same Nicholas or his offsprings that taught the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which God hated, which this pastor hated? Could this be the same one? Anyway, we do find when this decision was made to relieve the workload from the apostles, the Bible says that the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. So, church member, I'm saying, give your pastor a break. Pray for him. Minister to him. Let him give himself to the word and to praying. Because if you don't, your pastor may be in danger of losing his church. Jesus warned this pastor that if he did not repent, he would lose his church. There are many pastors that have lost their church because they lost their first love. Pastor, when you've lost that first love, it's not going to be long before you lose your church. God will give that church to one who will seek him and his righteousness. Pastor, remember the words that God spoke to his people in Deuteronomy chapter 4. In verse 30, God says, when you are in tribulation, and all these things are come upon you, even in the latter days, if you will turn to the Lord your God, and shall be obedient to his voice, he will not forsake you, neither destroy you. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. Repent. He is merciful, he is loving, kind, and desires that you be fruitful in your ministry. So church members and pastors alike, I would urge you to allow God to use others in your church that is filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with wisdom, filled with power, to assist you in ministering to the saints of God. Let them be a part of your ministry. Let them lift some of the laboring under which you have become stressed out to the point that you're almost burned out. We find that pastors that commit suicide are those who have been burned out. They have been laboring to the point that they are tired beyond their capacity. They begin to feel that there is no other way out. Oh, how sad it is when I hear of pastors who have had a great ministry, a fruitful ministry, come to the place that they feel that suicide is the only way out. But I would say to anyone who have come to this conclusion that there is a way out, we should never make a decision that has eternal implications based on circumstances that are temporary. This too shall pass.